Fly vardagen en stund med GVS ljudböcker.
Stenar och slagord flyger genom luften. Däck och bilar sätts i brand, hör vi genom våra kontakter.
Men det här är ju han. Cesar klappade Arturo på axeln. Vem han? Grinige byggaren från TV. Lyssna gratis på GVS ljudböcker. Finns hos Acast eller där du hittar dina poddar.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kriminell.
Tack alla som återigen har...
Gail, ska jag säga också. Om någon undrar vem fan det som pratar plötsligt.
Tack till alla som köpte avsnitten av oss och prenumererade. Men som sagt så lägger vi ner det där nu. Och därför har vi bestämt att vi släpper upp dem... utan kostnad.
Yes, varsågoda.
Och här kommer ett avsnitt ifrån Los Angeles med
Joe. J-O-E. Joe.
No last name.
Oh, Serda. C-E-R-D-A. Serda.
I downtown Los Angeles och träffar Joe Serda, vars utseende lätt skulle kunna tas för att vara en parodi på alla filmers latinogubbar. Knappt 1,70 lång, hatt, svarta solbriller, tatueringar och skönt klassisk valrossmustasch.
I grew up in the city of La Puente, you know, for me I grew up in a very violent family, you know. At the age of 9, you know, I was already getting hit with extension cords and getting tied to the bed, you know, when mom would take off to work and she would untie me when she got home. You know, at the age of 5, I had been molested by my uncle, you know, so at that time I felt very uncomfortable, you know, in my own skin. You know, I grew up, you know, questioning, you know, myself, you know, as a man, you know, and didn't understand why I had been through, you know, all the tragedy I had been through in my life.
Joe Serda är 53 år men har fortfarande tydliga minnen från sin barndom som satt djupa spår. Våldet blev tidigt en vardag och från 5 års ålder blev han ofta piskad och slagen av sin mamma. I ungefär samma ålder blev han också sexuellt utnyttjad av sin farbror. När han var 9 år och mamma gick till jobbet spände hon först fast lille Joe i sängen där han sen fick ligga tills hon kom hem. Med en sån start i livet blev det självklart för Joe att rymma hemifrån och lika naturligt att inleda sin kriminella bana som biltjuv som 9-åring.
You know, at the age of 9 I started stealing cars and for me it wasn't so much about wanting to steal them to sell them or to sell the parts or anything like that. You know, I sold them because I loved the power that it gave me when I was behind the wheel. You know, at a very early age I started burglarizing houses, and for me, for the most part, you know, I never really stole anything from the house. You know, I would just go in there and I would give myself something to eat, and then I would sit down and I would watch TV. So for those 8 hours, while them people were at work, I had a safe environment that I was in, and I could, you know, kick back and enjoy myself until they got home from work. And usually what happened when they would drive up in the driveway, I would, you know, I'd run out the back door and jump the fence and I was gone.
För att någon gång och någonstans hitta lite lugn och ro börjar Joe göra inbrott hos folk som han visste var på jobbet och därför hade ett gäng timmar för sig själv i deras hem. Men som vanligt är det sällan det goda som varar någon längre tid. Joe åkte fast och skickades sen runt mellan olika typer av placeringar då mamman i rätten hade avsagt sig allt vidare ansvar för sin son.
You know, I ended up going to a placement, and the way I got there is I had got arrested for burglary, and my mother had went to the court, and she told the judge that she didn't want anything to do with me, that she didn't want me in her home, and that she just didn't want me. So I went to a placement as an incorrigible, and from placement I ended up in a state mental facility because they couldn't understand why I was so young and getting in so much trouble. You know, so from there I went to county camps. From county camps, I went to the California Youth Authority. And from Youth Authority, I made it a prison and made it to mostly every maximum security prison in the state of California.
Och utan vare sig familj eller hem sökte sig en 9 år ung Joe, som så många andra med liknande bakgrund, till det lokala latinogänget La Puente från San Gabriel Valley i östra Los Angeles.
I joined a gang at 9 years old, you know, because for me, it gave me a place to go to, you know, because being that I wasn't wanted, you know, at home and all the violence that was going on in my household, I wanted to be anywhere but home, you know. So I started, you know, going to the neighborhood right there where I lived at, and I hung around with all the homies and stuff, and, you know, I did what I did, you know, to survive.
But being in a gang at the age of 9 years, what did you do there in the gang? I mean, how did they treat you?
Well, for me, it was acceptance, because everybody accepted me, you know, and they took me in, and it was like family, you know. Although, you know, we did a lot of shootings and fighting with other gangs and stuff like that, but it gave me a place, you know, where I belonged, you know, where I was accepted. And so I stood in that gang all the way until my late 40s. You know, I had become very, you know, dedicated, you know, to the gang and to all the activities, you know, that were involved, you know, in gang activity.
What was your role when you have been there for so many years? I mean, is it like you climbed?
Yeah, well, I climbed up the ladders. Well, I did a lot of time in prison, you know, for the majority of my life. You know, I was in prison. I was well known, you know, from being in prison and, you know, and the things I did in prison and stuff. So, you know, I had a lot of respect, you know, from a lot of people, you know, from my gang.
När jag frågar Joe har han lätt för att minnas vad han själv blivit utsatt för, men svårare att minnas vad han genom åren utsatt andra för. Och här snackar vi om många år. Nästan 45 år har Joe varit gängmedlem. Och hur funkar då inom gänget? Har alla olika position och uppgift? Och hade han någon användning för sin kunskap att sno bilar?
No, back in that time it was basically just shootings and just, you know, jumping other people from other gangs or, you know, getting in fist fights with other gangs and stuff like that. You know, there was no, you know, stealing cars or anything like that. I primarily did that on my own because, like I said, I liked the power that it gave me when I was behind the wheel.
When you're thinking back on the days, what's the worst thing you did there from that time?
Well, for me, it was just, you know, stabbing people. You know, I did a lot of things that I regretted later on in life because, you know, as I got older, you know, I despised the very thing that I became. You know, I became violent. You know, I became a product of, you know, of what how I had been raised.
It's the hardest thing, living like a life like that.
Well, the hardest thing is surviving. You know, a lot of times, you know, like I mentioned, I'd been to mostly every maximum security prison in the state of California, and very few individuals leave those prisons without being stabbed, without being shot, or something happening. You know, I managed to, you know, to survive and stay above the water in all those situations, you know, that I was in.
When you're thinking back, what could have changed the way of life you lived?
Well, the way I was raised, basically, the way I was raised, you know, could have made a big difference. You know, I really don't know. You know, the only thing I know is that, you know, I did what I did, you know, to survive, you know, in the environment that I lived in.
For me, then, I have no idea. How can you describe the life in a gang?
Well, you live in an environment where people are constantly testing you to see if you're going to fight or to see if you're going to defend yourself. So when you're put in situations like that, you have to react and you have to defend yourself, because if not, you're the one that's going to end up getting hurt. And, you know, being what I've been through, you know, as a child, you know, one of the things that I vowed to myself is that I would never become anybody's victim. So the moment that I, you know, I felt that there was any danger, or the moment that I thought that, you know, like somebody was trying to take advantage of me, you know, I jumped on them and I jumped in really quick. You know, we have the 10-second rule. You know, if I wait more than 10 seconds for you to make a decision, then you know what I mean? Then you're going to end up, you know, stabbing me or hurting me. So I have 10 seconds to react to whatever it is that I think I need to do at that time.
Are there any other rules to live after when you're
no,
in the gang?
No, just being dedicated, you know, dedicated to yourself and to being dedicated to the gang, you know, that you're from. You know, there's loyalty within the gang. You know, there's loyalty, you know, to the people that you're surrounded with.
How about that? Because everyone is talking about this loyalty thing, how important it is. And how would you say, how would you describe it? Is it like brothers or
yes, it's like a brotherhood. You know, you're raised in an environment where there's no role models, and, you know, and never being raised with a father and stuff like that. These were like my role models, you know, and I was loyal to them, and I was loyal to, you know, to the gang I was from, because I knew, you know, that they would be loyal to me. Well, in the beginning, you know, of being in the gang, you prove yourself. You know, you go out there and you either shoot somebody from another gang, or, you know, you do whatever you have to do to prove to people that you know, that you belong, that you're a part of, you know, the gang that you're in. You know, so after already proving your point to everybody else in the gang, you know, you more or less do whatever you want from there on. So from there in.
How has the gang culture changed?
Oh, the gang culture changed a lot, because today in the gangs you have a lot of gang violence. You know, today in the gangs there's no respect. You know, back in the days, you know, if you were older or you know, the younger generation would give you that respect, and so now there's absolutely no respect whatsoever. So it's basically like every man for himself. You know, everybody's just trying to survive. Everybody's just trying, you know, to live, you know, in the environment that they're in.
How was it to be in a gang when you were young? And how was it to be in a gang when you were getting older?
Well, when I was younger, there was an amount of respect that was given to you. Today, there's no respect. Today, you could do whatever it is that you do to in that gang, and still, they're still not going to give you that respect, or they're still not going to respect you. You know, you're still going to have somebody that's going to come and challenge you, you know, or push you back against the wall and see how you're going to react to whatever it is, you know, that you know, that they're trying to make a point of.
Precis som hos de flesta gäng fanns hos La Puente ett måste och en tradition. För att kunna bli en i gänget var Lille Joe 9 år först tvungen att genomgå ett test för att bevisa att hans hjärta, inställning och vilja var de rätta. Han ställdes mot sina blivande så kallade bröder. Uppställda på rad skulle han ta sig förbi dem från en sida till en annan och under tiden slåss och försvara sig så mycket han orkar mot så många som möjligt i 60 sekunder.
Back then we got jumped in. You got jumped by 5 guys. You know, you stood in a circle and you fought with all 5 guys. And, you know, you didn't lay down or you didn't curl up. You know, you stood up and you fought everybody, you know, for 60 seconds. So that's the way it was back then.
But not for you as a 9-year-old, I guess.
Yeah, see, for me as a 9-year-old, that's what I did. They made a line like this, and you would go through the line, and everybody would you'd be fighting with everybody, and you had to make it to the end of the line, you know, and as you made it, then everybody congratulated, and they welcomed you, you know, into the game.
How was that?
Oh, it was gruesome, but, you know, at the end, you know, it's victory, you know, because you survived it, and you made it through.
How common is it that a gang member is a gang member for so many years that you've been?
It's very common. It's very common because you grow up in that neighborhood, you grow up in that city. So for a lot of us, because we don't have the financial means, we live there for, you know, for our whole lives, and, you know, our children grow up, you know, in that same neighborhood, because poverty keeps us there.
How does it work? I mean, is it like a boss and then is it under bosses, or how does it work?
No, it's just like, you know, there's no boss. There's really no actual anybody, you know, a boss over anybody. You know, we do have individuals, you know, that are, you know, that we look up to, you know, that we go to advice, especially for us older guys, you know, but there's no one ringleader that leads the whole gang.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, it's not that it's worth it, because it's very worth it when you join the game, because the simple fact is that, you know, you get the acceptance that you don't get in society. You know, in society, you know, it's like, you know, you're not offered jobs. You know, jobs are very hard to get. You know, the country is built to keep you in poverty, to keep you poor. So, you know, being in the gang, you know, we help each other out. You know, we build each other up and stuff. So that's one of the biggest things why a lot of people join, you know, because of the fact being is that it's the protection that the gang gives you. You know, and the thing that you're not going to get, you know, in society.
We hear about, sometimes in Sweden, you hear about all these drive-by shootings.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of drive-by shootings, much more now, you know, than there is before, because if somebody comes and they shoot, like, a gang member from your gang and stuff, well, they're going to come by and they're going to shoot anybody that's, you know, that's around, you know, in your area where you live, because they know right away of which gang shot at what gang. So, you know, it goes back and forth, back and forth.
How many gang battles have you been?
Oh, I've been through a lot. I couldn't even tell you how many. You don't count them.
Is it mostly guns or knives?
Well, back in my times, it was mostly knives and stuff, but now it's all guns. You know, you got AK-47s, you got a lot of, you know, hardcore artilleries, you know, that you didn't have back in the days that you have now.
And what is it that you're fighting about? Is it like corners, or is it drug selling?
Sometimes it's corners, sometimes it's just retaliation, sometimes it's over, you know, having to want, you know, power over that section, you know, to sell drugs. Or whatever it is, it varies. It's always different, and it's very personal. I was just, from one day to another, just trying to survive.
I åren fick Joe en son som växte upp i gängmiljön och tidigt såg upp till pappa som idol och förebild. När han var 15-16 år gjorde han som pappa Joe och gick med i gänget och blev medlem i La Puente.
Well, because the reason being is that you grow up in the gang, and then other gang members know you, and you become really known. And then your sons idolize you, and they want to become like you. So they end up, you know, doing the same thing that you did. I was very sad about it, because of the fact being that when you're young, you don't realize the consequences, you know, of joining a gang. You don't know, you're not really aware of what goes, you know, of what goes along with being, you know, being a gang member. So with that, the only thing I could do was just warn them and let them know, you know, well, this is the sacrifices that you have to make.
What are the big sacrifices you do?
Well, the sacrifices of, you know, going to prison all the time. You know, always end up back in prison and you know, hurting yourself and others. You know, and a lot of times it's not so much what you do to go to prison, but it's the thing you do when you get into prison. Because in prison, it's another, you know, it's a whole different ball game.
How do you mean?
Because in prison, it's broken up in races. You know, like the blacks run with the blacks, the whites run with the whites, the Asians run with the Asians, and the Mexicans run with the Mexicans. You know, so there's no fighting or anything like that inside the prison system. You know, they're just stabbing each other. You know, if somebody disrespects you or somebody gets angry with you, you stab each other. You don't sit there and fight because you're not going to take the chance of the guy that has the gun up there on the tower shooting you over a black eye.
Are there any rules that are like different from streets? I mean, when you're coming into, when you get to prison, are there any unwritten laws?
No.
To follow?
No.
So if I'm white, I can go with my blacks?
No.
That's one rule.
Yeah, that's one rule. You stick with your own kind. If you're white, you stick with the whites. If you're black, you stick with the blacks. You know, you're not allowed to eat of another black person. You're not to accept anything from a black person. You're not to be able to do any kind of transactions with another black person. You're not allowed to step in their area, and they're not allowed to step in your area, because every race has their own section of where they hang out. And no other race is allowed to go into that, to that section without permission.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's very good because it keeps everybody safe. Because if a black guy comes into your section, you don't know what his intentions are. You don't know if he's going to try to stab one of your people or something like that. So it keeps everybody safe and it keeps everybody on the toes.
But when you get into prison, if you want to be on your own, you don't want to mix up with anyone. Is that possible?
It's possible, but it's not very smart. Because the reason being, if somebody retaliates against you, another gang and stuff, you have nobody backing you up. You know, you have no protection, in other words. Well, in the state of California, Pelican Bay is a maximum security prison in the state of California. It's like the end of the line. And in there, you're locked down in the cell 23 hours and a half a day. You're let out for a half an hour to go into another yard, what they call a yard, or another cage that's just a little bigger than your cell. And the only thing you can do is walk around, you know, in that cage for a half an hour. You know, and you live like that every day. All your meals are brought to your cell. You know, you eat all your meals inside the cell. You don't leave that cell without being handcuffed, you know, from your waist all the way down to your feet.
How long did you live like that?
I was in there for like 2.5 years.
How does it affect you?
Well, it affected me in a lot of ways because of the fact being is that, you know, it kills your self-esteem. You know, you come out here in society and you know, the funny thing about that is that, like, every day the psychiatrist comes by and he asks you if you know what day it is, who's the president of the United States, you know, and do you know what time of the day it is? Because you're practically in the dark. In the bottom of these cells, and it's like basically underground. So they already know that it affects you mentally. And basically what they do is, like, when your release date comes up, you're put back into society and asked, you know, not to commit no more sin.
Under tiden han satt förhoppningsvis sitt sista straff börjar Joe känna sig gammal, mätt och trött på gänglivet. Funderade han på alternativ och sätt att styra upp livet på. Men det fanns en hel del andra saker han också behövde lära och vänja sig vid. Saker som de flesta av oss andra tar för givna.
And for me, it was like I hadn't heard a baby cry in a long time. I hadn't seen children play. I haven't seen women in a long time. I didn't know what it was like to see the stars, to see the moon, or to breathe the fresh air, you know, the nightly air that changes, you know, when the nighttime comes. So you learn to to appreciate all that when you get out. But at the same time, you get out lost because no longer are the meals coming to yourself. You know, no longer, you know, is everything, you know, brought to you.
What would you say is the hardest now when you left the gang life and the prison life, hopefully,
The hardest thing is trying to integrate back into society because you lived in an environment where you're not really allowed to, you know, to integrate with other races other than your own race. So then for a long time, you know, you have that thing, you know, like if you're talking to another race, you know, you feel that tension, you know, that you would feel if you were doing it, you know, inside the prison environment. You also, you know, walk around very paranoid because you don't know if somebody's trying to stab you or stuff like that, because inside those prisons, you know, when you're walking, you're very cautious about who's around you because you never know if somebody's going to try to jump you or if somebody's going to try to stab you. You know, so there, you know, and also, you know, like when the gunners shoot the gun, you know, and something happens, and if you're standing up, you're going to get shot too. So your first instinct is when you hear a loud noise or you hear a boom is you lay on the floor because that's what you're instructed to do. So when you get out here in society and you hear a loud noise, your only reaction is to lay down in the floor. You know, so you go through a lot of trauma and a lot of mental disorder, you know, once you're placed back into society because now you're placed on your own. And it's very hard to get a job because nobody wants to hire you. Nobody wants to do anything to you because just by the way you carry yourself and your demeanor, they can tell that you've been to prison.
Do you have any such examples where you have been formed by the prison life now when you're trying to live like an ordinary man?
Well, it's the simplest things as going into the market. You know, going into the market, you have the various things to choose from that you can pick and you can buy. You know, inside prison, you don't buy anything. You don't go shopping. You're not around a lot of people. You know, everything is brought to yourself. So when you come out and you go into a store, you don't know what to get. You don't know what to buy because you didn't have a choice to do anything. All your choices were made for you. You know, and also even talking to a female, it seems, you know, like you're very shy. You're very withdrawn because you hadn't interacted with a female in a long time or for a lot of years. So that fear, you know, of the unknown is there because you hadn't known it for a long time. The fear of, you know, walking down the street and you have other people walking around you, you know, because you're constantly paranoid that something's going to happen or, you know, or stuff like that. When you see a police officer right away, you know, you feel less than because, you know, for all these years that you've been in prison, they've been telling you that you're never going to amount to nothing, that you're nobody, and, you know, you're treated as lower class. So when you've been living that lifestyle for your whole life and you come out here in a free society and you're trying to better your life, it's very hard because these are the demons that you're fighting against.
Joes son har nu också lämnat gänget. Trött på fängelser, skottlossningar och allmän stress.
You know, so that's when I came here to Homeboy Industries because I wanted to change all that. I wanted to turn that all around.
What made you want to change that?
For being that I was just tired of living the way I was living. You know, I wasn't really like made to be hurting people and doing all the things that I was doing. You know, I became what I became and I just wanted to change all that.
Are there any things that you can sometimes miss from the gang life?
Oh, the camaraderie, you know, the friendships that you build, you know, in the gang and stuff. So yeah, that's what, you know, you miss the most.
När Joe var aktiv och levde med våldet på gatorna hade han bara en dröm. Att klara sig och överleva dag för dag. Men idag, hur ser hans dröm ut nu?
I want to jump out of a plane.
Parachute.
Yeah, parachute. Yeah.
That's a dream. How come?
Because of the freedom that it feels of just being in the air and you know, and just, you know, like nothing can harm you, like nothing, you know, can get in your way.
I really hope that dream will come true for you. Good luck.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, you're welcome.
Missa inte mötet med Hector, även han med många års erfarenhet som gängmedlem, men som idag driver Homeboy Industry, en avhopparhjälporganisation i Los Angeles som genom åren hjälpt och stöttat tusentals för detta gängmedlemmar.
So, like really we say in the beginning we said at Homeboy Industries, no hanging, slanging, or banging. Like you can't come over here and gangbang. You know what I mean? We just say, look, we're not a job. We're a program. And the program is to help you because you want help. Because I didn't go and get you from your gang, right? No. You walked in. Because why? Well, because I want a job. We're not a job. We want to help people. Okay, well, I want your help. Well, good, because I want to help you. Are you gangbanging? Well, yeah. Well, then I can't help you. Let me know when you want to stop gangbanging, then I could help you, because you make the choice to stop. So let me know when you're, hey, dog, I ain't going to stop gangbanging. Oh, cool. That's cool. I'm not telling you. I think that, you know, that that's going to lead you to death. As you know, you're going to go back to prison. You know, you're going to get shot again. You know, this time you might not make it. But if that's what you choose, then go do it. You're in the wrong place, because we're not going to gangbang right here. Or it could be, yeah, I just want to change, homie. You know, I gangbang, but I don't want to gangbang no more. I want to change. Cool. I could work with that. You know, you can't bring your hats, no gang affiliation in this place. I want to help you. You got to be willing for us to help you. So then they have to make a choice. And if they choose to come with us, then we bring them into the program. It's on you. It's not on me. You know, I gangbang, but I want to come here. Yeah, sorry, dog. I don't want no gangbanging here.
Tack, du som lyssnar och därmed också bidrar till fortsatt jobb med flera avsnitt. Ha det bäst. Bobo.
Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Fly vardagen en stund med GVS ljudböcker.
Stenar och slagord flyger genom luften. Däck och bilar sätts i brand, hör vi genom våra kontakter.
Men det här är ju han. Cesar klappar där Toro på axeln. Vem han? Grinige byggaren från TV. Lyssna gratis på GVS ljudböcker. Finns hos Acast eller där du hittar dina poddar.